I figured that was a good song. That was from my album, my band Voyager, and that was Holly Penfield. And the song is called American Dream, and I think it's appropriate because everybody needs one right now. You're listening to the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show, coming from somewhere in the land of the Indian skies, in Southern California, sort of. And tonight we have our sidekick, Bella, and Steve Barish. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Fred?
Welcome to the show, February 6th, 2000. I think it's the 6th, isn't it? Is this the 7th? I don't know. I lost track. But anyhow, it's a day. So welcome to the show. So tell us what's been going on. You've got some new information I heard about depression.
Yeah, I've been working on a new technique. I was working with a client, and she's manic depressive. And what happened was, a voice came to me and said, why don't you work with the water in the body? And the voice said that the body contains, it's a lot of water in the body. I don't know exactly how much it was, but what I did was change the energy of the water in the body the same way you would change the water in a glass.
Right.
And actually what happened, she was much happier. And I did it on myself, and it lasted for 7 hours.
So what did you do to the water?
What I did was actually change the molecular structure of the water. I changed it to be very, very bright, very, very happy, instead of being depressive. Because the mind, what happens is what you put out in your mind is what happens to the body.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Right, and so what happened was is that we're, I think, 85% water, if I remember correctly, and what I did was just change the molecular structure of the water, and she was very, very happy when she left. I tried it on myself. I'm not actually depressed, but I was really super happy for 7 hours.
Well, that's pretty good.
So I'm going to do it tomorrow morning and see what happens, but you can actually, well, at least I can. I can actually feel the change actually going through my body.
Wow.
And it starts in the upper chest, goes all the way down the back, all the way down to the feet, up the front of the body, and into the mind. And it actually makes a big difference. So I got to play with it for a while.
In my book, Death of Ignorance, we showed some water before and after it had been blessed.
Yes.
And when the molecular structure, remember, the H2O and H is hydrogen, so hydrogen is consciousness and oxygen is life, It's animating life, water, so you can easily change the electric frequencies of hydrogen. That's the big thing in quantum mechanics is the hydrogen.
Right.
Because quantum mechanics says that when there's deliberate action and quantum tunneling takes place, and that single electron that's around that hydrogen atom, and there's two of them in water, can be everywhere at once.
Well, I find what's interesting, Fred, is that I look at energy as energy in the body, in a glass of water, in a tree, whatever the case may be. And we need to be able to take that energy as energy and not think of it as a human being or an elephant or steel or whatever, and you can actually do some wondrous things. So the body is a holy instrument. The water is holy. Everything on our body is really, really holy. And if you treat it with that kind of respect, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, most people
finding
don't
that
do
out
that,
to be
not.
Very, very true. And of course, the word "please" is very apropos. And so I've been using some affirmations. And it seems to be really doing a great job in the body. So she was happy. I'm happy. I'm going to try it on some clients next week. So I've been working on that for the last couple of days.
Yeah, remember, you can even make fire water if you want.
Well, I don't drink, so I don't drink, smoke, or do anything else. So
I thought I'd give you a glass of wine once.
It's really interesting. You know, you and I have the same issue with our minds. It never goes to sleep.
I know.
And, it's constantly working and constantly figuring out things. And, you know, that's the beautiful part of being raised in consciousness that, you don't sleep. and you figure things out all the time to do with energy. And there's so many beautiful things to do. What I'm going to play with, I think, is even to raise love in the body. And I think we can do that through water.
Oh, yeah. Now, what you really want to have some fun with water.
Yeah.
Go ahead and start beaming one of your projectors at it.
I haven't tried that yet, Fred. That's a good idea.
Well, trust me, you'll be surprised what happens. I'll
tell you what I have done. I put my hands around water and actually put love and light in the water, and people have been standing back about 18 feet and actually feel the water.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
that's pretty
cool.
The
presence of the water and the aura of the water. So I think it's just a matter of thinking about holiness.
Yeah.
And trying to keep it as simple as we possibly can.
Right.
And so I'm going to try with my necklace. I never even thought about that, Fred.
Yeah, you'll find that you can transfer this energy, because when we do muscle testing at the shows, you see how it transfers into another human.
Yeah.
You could do that energy into water and then probably have them drink the water while they're testing for a negative, you know, like glue or something under the nose where it makes them
drink
the water in their hand that's been treated by the projector. You'll probably find them test pretty strong.
You know, what's interesting, when I was in California, we were testing people with the new projector that I have. And it was very interesting how they couldn't even put down their arm.
Yeah.
So the projector is extremely powerful all in itself. So it's a lot of fun to do. It's really a lot of fun to do. The nuclear receptor, I've got a friend that has a gold nuclear receptor. She really loves it. She's really enjoying the heck out of it.
Wow.
You know, it's really, it's a potent piece for her. She's got a carat diamond in it, and she really loves it. She's had it for about 3-4 years now, and her skin looks like it's, she's almost 50. Her skin looks like she's about 30.
Yeah, it's really neat. You know, one thing I've seen women do that really hurts their skin is drink a lot of coffee.
It makes
her skin, like, under their eyes, like, big, because what's called cross-linking.
Uh-huh.
You get sulfur cross-linking in the skin, and they get to 40 years old, and they drink a lot of coffee, and you'll see crow's feet all over their face, not just under their eyes.
Yeah.
Whereas you take somebody that's been a vegetarian and doesn't drink coffee, they're at 50, they're like the one you're describing there, you know?
It's right, right. You know, I'm 66, and I don't have a wrinkle on my face.
Yeah, they went and spent all this money.
You know,
to do their makeup and their facials, and then they drink coffee.
But I noticed that ever since I got this platinum projector, that my skin is even more radiant.
Oh, yeah.
For some odd reason or other. I don't know why. I thought that the nuclear receptor would be the one to do that. But the platinum projector also has a way of doing it. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I think the platinum must have a different consciousness level.
It does.
It does, Fred.
Yeah, it does. That's why it's one of them next to rhodium. Not rhodium.
Yeah.
Rhodium. Not rhodium. Mm-hmm. Rhodium. Rhodium is even more expensive. It's the second most expensive element there is. It's platinum.
Really?
Unless you buy uranium, of course. But
you'll buy that. Right. But it seems to be working, and I know when I got it, I spent 4 hours meditating in the center of the platinum projector, and it opened up the necklace tremendously. And then the following day, I meditated for. She went through the front of the projector and was looking out of it.
Right.
So there's a lot. There's a lot to do with platinum. I was absolutely amazed at what happens with platinum. I think somebody is trying to get on the phone.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Let the caller in.
Hello? No, I guess maybe we didn't have it. But anyhow, the platinum evidently has a much, much higher consciousness level than gold. At least for me it does.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it seems to be quite powerful, quite potent. I'm still getting used to it, Fred, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like it a lot. But I don't wear much platinum because it's not cheap. Even being the owner of the company, I just don't put that much money aside to buy platinum right now.
Yeah.
I use gold, but I mean, Those things aren't cheap. And platinum, by the way, is going up past $1,000 again.
Oh, it is.
Back when you got that.
Boy, Mike, glad I bought this.
Now it'll probably go on up to $2,000 again or something.
Yeah.
It hit $2,650 last year, I think, or $2,450
really?
Last year.
Yeah.
And so anyhow, we're having a good time, and I've got my chat room going. I see that my Ustream viewers, like, when are you going to get your computer going anyway?
Oh, God, this computer just drives me crazy. I have a friend coming over on Monday who's going to help me with it, so hopefully we can get it fixed. And what I'll do is I'll call you, and then I'll see if I can Ustream over to you.
Yeah, because you're really missing out. We have a lot of fun over here.
I can imagine, but I just paid all this money for it. I hate getting rid of it unless it's just something that I'm doing wrong. I'm just starting to email out like crazy.
Oh, you are emailing now.
Yeah, I'm emailing now. I found a way of doing that, and so I'm emailing a lot of clients and customers and different things of that nature. As a matter of fact, I had one from a guy who wanted to know what does it feel like to wear both the platinum projector and the gold projector. And all I can tell him is, you know, you just got to take your time with it. You know,
does
the
he
platinum
got them both
projector,
now or what?
Pardon?
Does he have them both now?
Well, he doesn't have a platinum projector, but he has a projector and a nuclear receptor, and he wanted to know about how to wear it and could he wear it together. And what I said was basically you have to get one that is very grounded, and you wear the other one till it's grounded, and then you can wear them both.
Yeah, I agree with that. That'll work.
Right. You just got to take your time with it. It's nothing really to rush with, you know. But the projectors, you know, the receptor is so powerful, Fred, that when I put that on alone, I can actually see the white light coming out of my back.
Oh, yeah. You don't have a platinum receptor yet, do you?
No, I'm thinking about that maybe next year, if it doesn't grow up too expensive.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Oh, man. Are you kidding?
Next year. Well, of course, this year is just starting, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
The hell, if you're doing 40 massages a week or 30, you can afford to pay cash for one in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's, I'm really surprised with this platinum projector. It's really, wow. It's really powerful, Fred. It's a whole different league.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, really, really potent.
But they feel all this energy and stuff?
Yeah, well, they feel it. I mean, they actually feel it. And for them, what it's doing is smoothing their energy out even more. So as I'm wearing it, I can feel a different kind of consciousness as I'm wearing it. And when I'm starting to work with people with that, with the master crystal and with the projectors on the wall, people are really, really feeling very, very calm and even more open. So it's really amazing how these things really work.
Yeah, but how do you describe them to people, how they work?
Well, my clients have been with me. Most of my clients have been with me for about 15, 16, 13 years. And they've grown with me over the years, and but my newer clients have noticed the difference between the silver projector and the platinum projector in terms of its energy. In other words, if I'm working on a client when I had my silver projector, without using any kind of energy, the aura would be maybe about 4 feet out. Even though it goes into heaven, I could see the aura as 4 feet. And when I got the platinum projector, it just leaves the room.
Yeah, like so
it, yeah, it's very, very big. Very, very big. And you don't even have to work at it. Where, my clients, you know, when I was wearing the silver projector, I had to work at it a little bit. But with the platinum, you don't have to do anything. It seems like it has a consciousness all of its own.
Yeah, I guarantee you, people will be real interested when I release this book because I work these different chapters, you know, the one at the inside track.
Yeah.
It's amazing what I'm finding out in my research about how much mind control is going on out there electronically. You know, I call it electronic harassment.
Yeah.
Coming from even handheld units they're using now, but lots of, most of it from satellite, all of it, you know, all these people are just being targeted, you know, by the different programs, of the different spy programs that people now.
Right.
It's kind of sad. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, we found a way to defeat it.
Right.
The people are meditating, thinking that they're having a clear meditation, and these energies they sense and that they think are from a higher source, and a lot of times they're not.
Right.
One of the big things they claim now is you don't own your personality. You know, that's what the government does.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
You know,
the nuclear receptor itself, I'm pretty well sure it blocks all that out.
Oh, yeah.
And the platinum projector, to be honest with you, I know the potential of it. I have no idea what I'm doing with it yet, but I will. You know, eventually I will. I'm sort of like your guinea pig when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I've seen big changes with me in terms of energy, and I feel more up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Higher level of consciousness, and it's not hard to reach with platinum. Gold is a level down, but you can really feel it. But platinum is a whole different ball of wax.
Well, I find when I wear the gold in the receptor with the platinum bridge, mm-hmm. It's very, very. As a matter of fact, I started the show without it, and I had to take a break and run in the other room and grab it because I immediately felt not having it.
Right.
We brought a big lathe, a milling machine for the X1 machine. So we've been wielding a 750-pound machine out there in the garage on the end of a cherry picker to get it up on a bench, a special bench.
Wow.
I wouldn't recommend wearing a receptor for that because you get the thing caught in the chain and it'd be
great.
Right. You know, you have a 700-pound lathe on your face or you'd be a broken chain.
How's the X1 coming?
Oh, I told you I'd made contact with my friend Stephen Eberbaugh back in Ann Arbor, right?
Yes, you did.
After 44 or 45 years. And,
right.
He's on board now, and he's a MIT graduate, and he invented the DKW or whatever it is, speaker system, which Bose uses now. Bose stole it off of him. But he's working on the sound, and then also we're going to, StarTech, you know, the company that I'm involved with, we're going to be changing the parameters of their box so that when we detect a problem in your body, we will electronically hook up to the central nervous system and completely align our box to all of the various modulating frequencies that go up and down the 72,000 major wires of the human body.
Right.
We'll be able to dial in a change right away.
Wow.
But there's nothing on the market. I mean, these Rife machines and all these other things that are out there are just toys next to where the technology is now, what we're bringing forth. And this is completely obsolete leads biofeedback in all forms, too.
Right.
Most of that industry, electronically, what they're doing.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. How's your book coming along, buddy?
Oh, it's pretty good. In fact, I'll read some of it in a minute.
Yeah, I'd love to hear some.
Yeah, I was going to continue on with where I was last week, but I'll just jump into another chapter here in a minute.
Sure.
We won't get very far in it because it's 44 pages. One chapter that I wrote since I last talked to you last week, 44 pages have been written.
Right.
So I'm looking at probably a 300-page book. There's so much to cover here, and I want everybody to know every single name of every person that I write about, what his background is, who his wife was, who his girlfriend was, and what his association with the world was, or is. Some of them are obviously still alive, so it takes a long time to do all that research, to put all that in there, because I'm presenting a series of facts.
Right.
Control numbers, government, NSA, CIA control numbers, files. Nobody's ever done this before. I've read most of what's on the market, and it's nothing informative to what you really need. And this ties up three or four fields at once.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's about time for you to start writing a book.
You know, I've got all those sayings. My rabbi, friend who passed away a couple of years ago really wanted me to write a book on all the things I got from heaven. And I really want to do that. And I should really be writing stuff about my exploits.
You should.
You know?
Especially with the projectors and the thousands of people that you come across now and talk to. And, you know, how all the people you reach on your radio show.
Right.
Cover on your radio show last Saturday after we spoke Friday night.
Excuse me?
What did you cover on your radio show?
I covered the platinum projector. I covered the nuclear receptor. I talked about our trip to California and what we did with the 500 people in the room. And I also did, I talked about love and compassion.
And, oh, good.
That seems to be, people love to hear about love and compassion and how to work with it.
Oh, I agree.
You know? You know, it's so wonderful to use, and especially when you're wearing these nuclear receptors and the projectors, how much more that can actually add to your life. It's just, it's really incredible.
You know, yeah, you know, the solar plexus, of course, of gray matter on the brain is the seat of the
passion center,
and the heart is the chakra of the love.
Right. But it's really interesting to discuss that on the radio. And for people to call me up and really work on it, and, you know, it's really a lot of fun. I mean, I just have a lot of fun healing people on the radio.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really pretty good.
I like to do a little of that. I used to do when I was younger, when I was in my 30s, I did a lot of these healings. But
Right. Days
now, I let you do it. You can
Yeah. Well, for me, it's fun, Fred. You know, because I see in the body anyhow, so it's just fun.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a lot of fun for me. So what else is new with you? Do you have anything that seems to be working for you really well this week?
Yeah, about everything. It's really going well here. I've been, you know, every day is a book.
In the afternoon.
I've been out in the orchards. Thinning trees, and
cool.
God, we've had so many avocados. Anybody wants avocados, just email me. I'll send you a bushel, you know. Avocado, I got thousands of them, you know. They're all over the place here now, and they're not doing an actual pick this year or crop harvest for the market, because we got about 200 and some trees that aren't ready to go, but the 20 or so trees that are in full production
are just trimming.
One of them, or two, I trimmed five of them out front of the house because they hadn't been trimmed in a while.
Mm-hmm.
About five bushels of avocados just off the lower branches. Five bushels.
That's incredible.
Oh, I got a lot of people on the list. I got to ship them out next week. And what happens is it takes them they fall off the tree and they're not ripe yet. And so the avocado, if you put it in a bag, it has methane gas and it'll ripen itself. In a couple days.
Right.
The thing about them not being ripe right away is I can ship them anywhere, and they're pretty indestructible. They're pretty damn hard. But when
you
take them out and you play with them, then you can, you know, you got avocados.
Well, avocados are really good for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're an unsaturated fat, and they're a source of fat and protein.
Yeah.
So if you can go off of meat, immediately on the avocados, and you won't even notice the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's really, really good.
Horrible
stuff.
For you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I'll read some of this.
Yeah, please.
It's out of another chapter now. This thing, I'm showing it to people. It's a pretty thick thing. I was going to read the thing about Candy Jones, but I don't know if I can. I got to read this other part. I don't think I'll never get there to Candy Jones tonight. My God, so many pages. I'll just read a little of it.
Sure.
This is none of the chapters have real names yet, and some of these chapters will probably be three chapters.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of this chapter, which follows the other one was more about drug companies and manipulation, deception, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I know where I stopped, and I didn't get
there. We were talking about Erich von Braun last week.
Yeah, Wernher von Braun. Yeah,
Wernher von Braun, whatever his name is. Yeah.
We finished that in the Tavistock and all that.
Right.
I think we're going to talk a little something else.
Right.
Back in the day when I had my electronics company, In addition to having many clients that were R&D companies, manufacturers, aerospace firms, military facilities, defense contractors, government agencies, including the CIA at Langley, FBI at Quantico, NSA at Fort Meade, and various atomic energy sites, schools, colleges, and chemical companies. These were my clients,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
People called upon hospitals and mental institutions. Some of them were very clean and very comfortable to visit. Others were very dim, dirty, and some of the institutions were quite depressing.
Mm-hmm.
As my duties in those days were to supply medical equipment, I also supplied all their kinds of equipment, medical also, though.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what medical equipment from my end was galvanometers, some analysis equipment like spectral analysis, that kind of stuff. I had no idea of the experimental undercurrents that were taking place in some of these companies I was calling on at the time. As a matter of fact, As I go through this, I'm saying I run across this company and their CIA contractor,
mm-hmm.
and then subproject so and so, or MK Ultra subproject so and so. It's like, wow, I didn't know that when I was there. As I mentioned in the previous chapter, Tavistock had laid the groundwork starting at the turn of the century for a full-blown mind control,
mm-hmm.
not only on a localized level, but it's pretty obvious on today is a global level. The plan was laid out very long term, therefore had a very low profile, and only when massive human rights violations occurred were there any preventive measures instituted to derail the evilness of the full-blown mind control. So in other words, they'll pull this crap, and if nobody complains about it, they keep pulling more. If somebody complains about it, then they pull back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works. And they gradually sneak it in, more and more, you know, loss of freedoms, et cetera.
Right.
Yeah, we got a lot on Bill Donovan. He's in the Candy Jones case, which I won't get to today, which I could. It's a fascinating mm-hmm. case. Because I knew Candy Jones was a courier for the CIA, and she went through one of these programs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she was married to Long John Neville when she was 47. She'd already... First of all, Candy Jones in the 40s was a pinup girl, her and Betty Grable, for the whole world.
Wow.
And in World War II. And you can look her up on the internet. And so she got involved when she was pretty young. And I got the story of how she became involved,
mm-hmm.
every
mm-hmm.
bit of it. And but she was married. She married in December 21st, in December of 72, I believe, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she married Long John Neville, and out of New York. And see, Long John Neville, I used to do a show,
mm-hmm.
and he was the first Art Bell, and he was
right.
on WMAC or something, the Mutual Broadcasting. And so he married her, and she's this famous person. She's 6'4".
Wow.
She traveled all over the world, and she was very famous. She was on, in 43, she was on 11 front covers of stuff, you know.
Wow.
She was ahead of Marilyn Monroe and everybody. Well, Marilyn Monroe hadn't even discovered yet. She was still Betty Jean, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So anyway, I used to do that, and my other friend, George Van Tassel, was on his show a lot,
mm-hmm.
because we were contactees. This is before Paradigm was even going yet.
Right.
Pre-Paradigm days. And so I'd go up to New York and talk to Long John Neville. He was really cool. He was just so cool. I mean, he was out there, and he had this giant radio show out of New York, and I used to go on it. And his wife at the time, who was his co-host, was Candy Jones. I didn't even know that.
Wow.
So I started doing my research. I said, my God, I knew Candy Jones. I used to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a fascinating story, but like I say, we're not going to get to it tonight. Maybe next week I'll read it to you, you know.
Okay.
Be a cliffhanger. You know, mm-hmm. So I'm looking at all the stuff I used to do, not knowing what I was doing. And then when Long John, he died in 78, in April, I think it was April 10th, 78, he died of a lung cancer, testicular cancer, you know, prostate.
Right.
And he was a big loss. I was really bummed when he went, you know.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know what happened to her after that. I didn't have any contact with her that much anyway, but...
Right.
But then Larry King took over his show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there I was, one step below Larry King at the time on a regular basis. So anyway,
wow.
Bill Donovan, January 1, 1883 to February 8, 1959, was an American soldier, lawyer, and intelligence officer, best remembered as a wartime head of the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS.
Mm-hmm.
He is also widely known as the father of today's Central Intelligence Agency, CIA.
Wow.
Donovan, here we go, was born in Buffalo, New York,
yeah.
and attended St. Mary's Collegiate Institute at Niagara University. And he was, and that's right down the street from where I live with my grandparents on Claremont Avenue, by the way, Delaware Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, before starring on a football team at Columbia University,
mm-hmm.
as a member of the Phi Kappa Psi fraternity, he graduated from Columbia in 1905. He was way mm-hmm. ahead of me, you know.
Right.
In 1912, Donovan formed and led a troop of cavalry of the United States militia that in 1916 served on the U.S.-Mexican border in the Pancho Villa campaign.
Wow.
Can you imagine that guy? You remember the Pancho Villa Wars, right?
Oh, yes.
You can imagine the guy from that becoming head of the OSS and finally one of the first directors of CIA.
That's
what Pancho Villa in the War of 1916.
Wow.
Fabulous stuff, you know. And in World War II, in World War I, he was awarded the Medal of Honor and 3 Purple Hearts. So this guy was
wow.
late. Right, Bella?
What are you doing down there?
Just kind of sneaking down my sleeve here. After the war, he was the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of New York,
mm-hmm.
Famous for his energetic enforcement of Prohibition. Boo. After World War I, Donovan traveled extensively in Europe and met with foreign leaders, including Adolf Hitler of Germany.
Mm.
An open belief that a second war was inevitable. President Franklin Roosevelt put a great trust in Donovan's ability to gather intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So did Winston
mm-hmm.
Churchill.
Mm-hmm.
In 1941, Donovan received the most important assignment today when Roosevelt named him Coordinator of Information, COI.
Mm-hmm.
American's foreign intelligence organizations at the time were fragmented and isolated from one another. And so was the British thing, too. They were all a mess. Donovan
yeah.
forged ahead and laid the groundwork for a centralized intelligence program, and in October 41, his headquarters was set up in New York in room 3603 of the Rockefeller Center. I love the Rockefeller Center. I like to skate there in the wintertime.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, too.
Yeah, it's really good ice. Michio Kaku skates there a lot, the guy that comes on my show.
Cool, yeah.
And he then asked Alan Dulles, who lived from April 7th to 1893 to January 29, 1969, to become the director of COI. Previously,
yeah.
the same offices were staffed by Britain,
mm-hmm.
MI6. Now, MI6 is a secret service, is Britain's external agency. In other words, the CIA is... In other words, Britain's overseas, off the continent, the intelligence is MI6. MI7
mm-hmm.
is a local place. It's so funny, they were both in Rockefeller Center in the same building in the same room.
Wow.
Start seeing that all this is going on. So, Okay, in 1942, the COI became the Office of Strategic Services, OSS,
mm-hmm.
and Donovan was returned to active duty in his World War I rank as colonel. By the war's end, he would be promoted to major general. I think that major is 2 stars, I think. Lieutenant general, I think, is the first one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't have a captain general. During the war, the OSS conducted successful espionage and sabotage operations in Europe and parts of Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Falling off my shoulder here. Get up here, little sidekick. Come on. Yeah, here we go. I'm laying all this groundwork out because it gets pretty heavy. The OSS was disbanded in 1945, resurrected as the CIA on July 26, 1947.
Mm-hmm.
The first a director of the CIA was Rear Admiral Roscoe Henry Hillenketter, May 1897 to June 18, 1882. Now, Hillenketter, by the way, was part of Majestic 12
mm-hmm.
that also... did the big cover-up, and there's a big... We hit pay dirt on the UFO cover-up in our research here. I ran across things nobody knows, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then the it is interesting. Oh, here, check this out. It is interesting to note here that Admiral Hillenketter was a member of the civilian group of the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, NICAP,
wow,
which I'm sure you've heard of.
NICAP. Yeah, I reported something on NICAP one time.
Yeah, so here's a NICAP guy running the CIA. How's that for a bit of a coincidence?
Yeah.
See, just a little embedment there. And during his term at the CIA, tried to expose the United States Air Force cover-up of UFOs to the general public. He was a good guy. He was like George Tenet. You know, when I was consulting over there, Tenet was in, and Tenet was great. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I liked him a lot. He was a Greek boy. His real name is Tenonopoulos.
Really?
Yeah, he's Greek. Yeah, he just went by Tenet over there, but it was Tenonopoulos.
Hmm.
Of course, he left because Bush was such an idiot. He didn't want anything to do with it, right? Little sidekick.
Yeah,
okay. Sidekick's checking everything. She likes my sweater.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading a Rolling Stone interview with George Bush, and they really...
How many linguistical F-U ups did he do in that interview?
He was just... Man, it was terrible.
Well, there's there is a very... What's his name? My favorite guy that does documentaries.
Walter Cronkite?
The same guy that did that one on the prosecutor down there in New Orleans on the Kennedy case. He's got there's a show up over there on right now on DirecTV called W.
Really?
It's a dramatized bio of George Bush Jr. Growing up. And his dad, I mean, he was a mess. I mean, they did a very good bio on him, and they showed he was, you could see how out of control he was and how that manifested, you know, when he was in the White House. He was a complete idiot. Growing up, he had a huge ego, and his poor dad was always bailing him out of all kinds of horrible situations that he was getting his entire life, including the presidency. You know, I mean, nothing really changed with that. It was really interesting.
Right.
Well, anyway, I'll get back to it here. You should see it if you get a chance. It's on a DVD, and you know, my listeners and viewers, get that and watch it if you want to see why George Bush was the way he was. And realize this man was, you know, 8 years at the helm of this country.
Can you imagine?
When you see how crazy he was, and you don't outgrow that kind of an ego, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this boy,
he
was a cowboy from Texas with a lot of money and a big ego and a lot of booze in his hand, you know? And he did sober up for a while, but, I mean, he had to sober up because they were going to put him away. Even his dad wasn't going to be able to bail him out of the trouble he was getting in, you know?
Yeah.
And then the coke that he did on top of that,
that's
great. I don't think of all of our presidents we had one like this before.
Yeah, he was a real...
It's nice to have somebody that's intelligent that cares again.
Yes.
I really like Obama. So far, he's got my 100% approval rating. Anyway.
Yeah, he's a good man, a very, very good man.
So anyhow, Donovan then lasted a few more years.
Let's see what our time is. Oh, we got a little time here.
With his intelligence dream realized, and then appointed Alan Dulles to become the next director of the CIA from 53 to 61.
Mm-hmm.
After that, he worked with Telford Taylor, the chief prosecutor. Now, this is Donovan retiring now. He worked with Telford Taylor, the chief prosecutor of the Nuremberg trials. Following that, he retired and went back to practicing law. But the real truth was he never really quite left the CIA. I know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. It comes up later when he was involved in the Sandy Jones case.
Yeah.
They always call him the retired general. That's what he went by. And he hung out with Gene Tooney.
Really?
Gene Tooney was at, what was his address? 44, I forget the name of it, but right near the Rockefeller. Gene Tooney was the guy that beat Jack Dempsey twice, the boxer.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a boxer, and he was a very popular guy, kind of like Mel Gibson kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he and the retired general, as they call him, Bill Donovan, hung out together a lot.
Mm.
That's a whole story that I won't be able to get into that tonight, but it's part of the other case. So it's real interesting because this book has taken me into such a world you know, going back 500 BC where it starts, that I actually, it's like I'm remote viewing each chapter of my book, seeing what happened and what didn't happen, doing research, making guesses sometimes about what I'm going to find in my research, and two-thirds of the time, what I think I'm going to find, I actually find it. And about a third of the time, I don't find it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But two out of three is pretty good odds.
I'd say so.
Nobody's written a book like this, trust me. Nobody, you have to see the whole thing. This is just a pinch of it. So anyway, as the time went on, other intelligence agencies were formed. Perhaps the most powerful today is the Office of NATO. Naval, I spelled wrong. Naval Intelligence, established in 1882. I did not know the Department of Naval Intelligence that runs Area 51. This is something I learned. Okay. Mm-hmm. Was started in 1882.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and I remember when they did that investigation out there at Area 51 of the claims by Bob Lazar of the alien craft. There was three of them, small, medium, and large, hovering, but not flying in the Groom Lake Dreamland hangars.
Mm-hmm.
And to prove his point, he produced a paycheck stub that he worked out there, because, of course, the government tried to cover that. It's called CIA cover-up, you know, misinformation to get rid of him. He produced a paycheck that he'd gotten while he was at Area 51 at Groom Lake in this hangar, and it was, you know, an official paycheck from the Department of Naval Intelligence.
Wow.
They run, the Naval Intelligence still runs the NSA and all of them. They're the big guys.
Wow.
1882.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know it.
Wow.
Several of its documents have been related to very powerful UFO cases. In addition, there are the National Security Agency, NSA.
NSA, right.
Action comes up in the sub-project. That's the Assassination Department. Called, there's a word for it. I come up with it later. I get the actual official thing. And other clandestine intelligence groups. I got a bird that's just so far down, and she loves it. I don't know, you're supposed to be up on the shoulder on the camera here, Malibu. Yeah. At the end of World War II, German scientists and technical experts were being held in a variety of department camps, detainment camps, by the Allies and the Russians. Now remember, we have 600 brand new detainment camps with nobody in them right now, being by the Army.
Right.
The British, French, Americans, and Russians became embroiled in a highly competitive recruiting effort to secure the services of a German specialist. Many could not qualify for immigration visas in the United States. These are the bad guys. Because they were war criminals, actively served in the Nazi cause. This led to a secret program called Paperclip / Project 63 and National Interest. Three programs. People have probably heard of Paperclip, but not Project 63 and National Interest. Through these programs, over 1,000 German scientists, and I knew a couple of them, and their families were secretly brought to the United States without State Department scrutiny or approval. These programs and related projects continued until the 1980s. They were still doing it, you know.
That's
incredible. Of course, one of the more famous persons who came coming on this program was my old boss, Werner von Braun. Some of the greatest mind controls were conducted by Dr. Kurt Plotner at Dachau, during World War II. He administered mescaline to unwitting subjects by spiking prisoners' drinks. Concurrently in the United States, similar experiments are being conducted involving mescaline, marijuana, barbiturates, and scopolamine.
Yeah.
At St. Elizabeth's Hospital in Washington, D.C., by Whitford Overhauser, Dr. Whitford Overhauser. Overhauser's experiments were conducted under the auspices of the OSS. A participant in the experiments, OSS officer George White, later became the contractor on CIA's MK Ultra subprojects 3, 14, 42, and 149, which ran from 1953 to at least 1964. All consisted of 149 subprojects, which I'm going to presently discuss, obviously.
Right.
Theodor Wagner Jürg worked at the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute in Germany before the war. remember that was later changed to the Max Planck Institute. We talked about that a long time
yes.
ago.
Yes.
And then worked with Edgewater Arsenal from 1948 to 1955 before returning to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
The Edgewater Arsenal was considered one of the key centers for the CIA and Army LSD mind
mm-hmm.
control research
mm-hmm.
the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Public, let's see how we're doing time-wise. We're running out of time here.
We're running out of time. It's 9:52, so.
No, I'll just try to get this next part in here.
I'll tell you, it's really interesting, the stuff that you're writing about.
You like it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's where it starts. Public attention probably began with the discovery of the Tuskegee syphilis study, which began in 1932 and continued until it was discovered by a reporter in 1972.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a direct violation of the 1943 Henderson Act, an Alabama public health statute for mandatory reporting of tuberculosis in tuberculosis and venereal diseases, and in the 1964 World Health Organization issued order. The Helsinki
yeah.
Declaration, in which research must be given informed consent. The
mm-hmm.
experiment
mm-hmm.
was conducted on 399 Afro-American men in the late stages of syphilis. Informed
mm-hmm.
they were being treated for bad blood, the physicians had no intention of curing them.
Mm-hmm.
By the end
mm-hmm.
of the experiment, 28 of the men had died directly of syphilis, 100 were dead of related complications, 40 of their
mm-hmm.
wives had been infected, and 19 of their children had been born
oh,
with
my.
Genital. Yeah. The government is now sanctioning this and encouraging it at this time.
Mm-hmm.
People and organizations that knew about the Tuskegee study included the Surgeon General. These are the people that said, this is cool. Go ahead and kill these Afro-American guys. Let their wives get infected. Let their kids be born with it. If this is the people that said this is okay in the United States,
wow,
okay?
Wow.
Surgeon General, the American Heart Association, the Macon County Medical Society, the Public Health Service, and the Center for Disease Control, who? Just once again, it's Tavistock, right? The first
wow.
recorded protest about Tuskegee was made by a medical doctor in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Irwin J. Schatz, a staff member at the Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, wrote to the author of the first paper of the study. What the men got for dying, where they were given $25 each, $1 for each year of precipitation in 1973, one of the subjects, Herman Shaw, testified at the hearing of subcommittee of the Health
mm-hmm.
Committee of Labor and Public Warfare, Welfare,
right.
conducted by United
right.
States Senate in 73 by Senator Edward Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
The Tuskegee syphilis study was eventually shut down in 1972 because of the efforts of Peter Buxton, an investigative journalist. And Peter Buxton's
mm-hmm.
pretty famous. He's still around.
Mm-hmm.
Once the Tuskegee syphilis study was in the media, official medical reaction condemned it and was shut down. On July 23, 1973, attorney Fred Gray filed a $1.8 billion class action suit in the United States District Court for the Middle District of Alabama. Defendants in the suit were the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare,
wow.
the U.S. Public Health Service, the Center for Disease Control, the State of Alabama, and the State Board of Health of Alabama and the Milbank Fund.
Holy mackerel.
Now, December 1974, the government agreed to an out-of-court settlement for $10 million. Cash payments were made as follows. $37,500 for every living subject, $15,000 to the heirs of the deceased subjects, $16,000
mm-hmm.
to the living control subject, and $5,000 to heirs of the controls. These are the controls.
Wow.
In May 1997, President Clinton issued an official apology to the Tuskegee subjects and their families.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at the National Health Federation, a group that lobbied consciously for the American politics for freedom of health choices, i.e. the ability to purchase vitamins
yeah.
without a prescription. It was discovered that 1 million people in Alabama had also been given a cancer virus. This is in 1960, which was
yeah.
presented as the polio vaccine.
Wow.
President Bill Clinton had to apologize for that discovery when it was made public.
Yeah.
Now, wait, you know, I don't have time to do it now.
Right.
Next week, wait till you hear about the radiation research where they go around spraying communities.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And injecting people. And like around Seattle, they just spray the area with radioactivity to see what happened. You won't
That's
believe
incredible.
Where this is going.
That's
you won't even
incredible.
Believe where this is going.
Yeah.
this is just the first foundation stone to what they did. And so when you get up to where we're at now with the trails up there in the sky, you know, and the other stuff, that radiation, people are being used as guinea pigs in entire communities right now as we speak in the United States on a lot of places. And I've uncovered a lot of this. This book is so hot. Anyhow, I got to slow down on it because I get too excited.
Yeah, it's a great book. I can't wait for it to come out.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just doing bits and pieces of it, you know.
You got to send me a copy.
Yeah, I will. When it's done, I'll get you a galley proof. But it's
boy, I'll tell you, this is going to be a fantastic book, Fred. I don't think there's anything out there like it at all.
Because don't forget, we do the quantum stuff, we do the stellar stuff, we do...
Yeah.
This is just laying the background for the bad boys. We do what the good guys do.
Oh, yeah.
But anyhow, we're out of time, man.
Yes, we are. That was a fast hour, buddy.
Yeah, it's 6:57. We're 2 minutes over. All right, let me crank up the music here, and we'll just start fading out. We've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show from bbsradio.com. I love my new watchers out there. Oh, yeah, there's Broom. Thanks for the great show. I'm actually reading my chat now off of Ustream. And glad everybody was having fun. And we'll be back next week. Tomorrow night we'll have a canned something or other. It'll be kind of fun. Till then, God bless, and see you next week.
Be well.